not have chapter 10? Kirk's got a few handouts he can give. Chapter 10. Melinda and Miss Mary. And I probably have some sitting back there that aren't stapled. We're going to finish up chapter 9 because we're just finishing that up. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verses 10 through 15. And then we're going to get into chapter 10. And there was some more either on the printer, I just didn't staple them. Or sitting next to the printer, Kirk. I don't know if anybody else needs them.
Is it 10?
10, chapter 10, yes. Okay. Yeah, Kirk, you may need to staple a few. Thank you. Before we start, I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures and then we'll go to God in prayer. I'm going to read from Philippians 3:14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And Psalm 119, verse 93, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the many blessings of this day. We thank you for this time and this opportunity we have together to come together and study your word. We ask that you be with the teachers, Lord, of the hour, that they can bring your word to our children, that you build, they are, can be built up, and that, Lord, each and every day as we come together and open your book and feast on your bread of life, that we can be encouraged every single time. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 through 15, to finish out that chapter, and we're talking about the giving and the attitude of how you should give. And so in verse 10 it says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase fruits of your righteousness. And let's also, he's talking about, you know, the farmers. He's talking about, you know, as much as seed as you put out there, you're going to get your increases. And it says that as a cheerful giver, we're also going to be increased by things God has given us liberally. And verse 11 says, while you're enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through God, through us to God. Now let's read Isaiah 55, verses 10 through 11. Isaiah 55, 10 through 11. Who's got that for me? Isaiah 55, 10 through 11. Angela, you got that? I know you're fast.
55, 10 to 11. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that which goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it.
Now, 2 Corinthians is talking about the same thing. Seed and sower is talking about the farmer. And there it's talking about, you know, our physical rewards. But here also in Isaiah, it's talking about spiritual rewards, right? The bread of life that goes out, that it's accomplishing its all its purposes. Also, let's turn to Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. And if you have the handout, it's there, I believe. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Okay. They weren't in the printer themselves or moved? Or asked Larry if he moved them?
A couple pages, so that's the only one.
Okay. Did anybody, we have one more. Anybody else need it? Okay, Johnson's. There we go. Let me just, I know I made bore. Thank you. Anybody else? I found a few more. There we go. All right. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Who's got that for me? All right, Jerry.
Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you.
So we're talking about giving. We're talking about giving as generally. They were sufficient to the resources and the benevolence, making sure those that had need. And whose were those in need? Who we're talking about again? Who had the need? Why were they collecting these extra funds? Those in Jerusalem, right. Because there was a famine there. And yes, and God was giving them. They had promised that they were going to do this a year ago. And Paul was giving them encouragement and telling me all things are going to be built up. All things that you do are going to be built up. So let's turn back to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 12. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgiving to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Let's also turn to Romans chapter 15, verses 25 through 27. Romans 15, 25 through 27. Tammy's got it. Tammy.
25 through 27.
25 through 27. Remember, this is talking about the same time period. We're still talking about the churches of Macedonia. We're still talking about the churches of Achaia being Corinth. And so there's the same time period of them giving these funds. In verse 13 of 2 Corinthians, we look at this is the proof of this ministry. Again, their ministry, their sharing in fellowship. And they're glorifying God because of their obedience and confession. Because we want to show what? We want to show that we are, right, Christians, just like Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And in Hebrews 13:16, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So do good and share. That's the whole thing we're talking about. Do good and share. Galatians 6:6-10. Who's got that for me? Galatians 6:6-10. You got that, Kirk?
Galatians 6:6-10. Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows into the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing the good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good in all, especially to those who are of the household of the faith.
Were they the household of faith? The Christians in Jerusalem. And Paul was encouraging them, right? Remember, you had promised to do this a year ago. You said you set these things aside, and I've been boasting of you to the other churches in Macedonia. Remember the church in Thessalonica, Berea, and what was the third church in Macedonia? Philippi. Yeah, let's not forget those, right? Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. And he was encouraging them so that they also were giving and sharing in this fellowship. And we see in verse 15 of 2 Corinthians, the last verse, right? Paul tells them, and thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Because what was the gift given to all Christians? Eternal life through his Son, right? Right? Because in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And John 4:10, Jesus answered, said to her, if you knew the gift of God, who is it who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So Jesus supplies us living water. He gives us everlasting life. Romans 6:23, because what? The wages of sin is, but the gift of God is through Jesus Christ. And in Romans 8, it says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also give freely us all things? And Ephesians 2:8, for by the grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And James 1:17, we remember that one, right? Every good and every perfect is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, and that there's no variation or shadow of turning. So in verses 8 and 9, they're grouped together. What are the principles shown to us today by the Corinthians? Did they set aside in stores? Did they give of their poverty? Did they give freely? Did they give liberally? Yes. Because God loves a cheerful giver. And remember, Paul told him too, hey, I wanted you to do this, but I didn't want to make you do this, right? I didn't want to force you to do this. Are there lessons for us to apply today from those two chapters? Yes. How are we to give? And? Cheerfully, right? Because God supplies everything. Everything good is given to us from the Father. How has God shown grace in the form of giving? What do we share in? When we give, when we're sharing those that are preaching around about us and we're helping support them, we're also doing what? Right, in fellowship, right? Right, we're fellowshipping with them, we're giving them. And a lot of those, especially the ones in Kenya, remember, they may not have had the opportunity to do that and go and spread the words. And, you know, other places, Romania and those that we are supporting, yes. And I don't know if you just saw just recently, but Nigeria now is having a lot of persecution of Christians. And one of the gentlemen I met when I was in Kenya is Kola Ajibola, and he was there studying and finishing out his doctorate degree, but he lives in Nigeria now, and he's preaching at a Church of Christ there in Nigeria. So I need to reach out to him and make sure he's still well. But what's going to cause or effect when we give liberally? What's a cause and effect just for us? If we give liberally. Go ahead, Paul. Yes. Does that build us up? Do we see things given? Yes. Yes. And the service of helping the saints, what kind of benefit is it to the giver? When you know there's someone who's in need and you help them, Yeah, it makes us feel good that we were able to help somebody, right? We have the resources, we can help somebody, right? And what did they accomplish in verse 13? So let's go back to 13 and says, what did they accomplish in 13? Remember what it said there. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your what? Sharing with them and all men. Specifically, they're talking about the ones at Jerusalem. So what do we see as an overall message on chapter 8 and 9? If you're going to just sum that up. Give generously. I'm a cheerful giver, right? I'm a cheerful giver, right? Because we were given an indescribable gift, yes. All right, moving on to chapter 10. Chapter 10, 11, 12, and 13 has a whole different focus, right? We've left Paul building them up, trying to encourage them, to now he has to defend himself. He now has to defend his apostleship. He has to defend the things that he's being accused of. And so the demeanor from the last few chapters to the end, from 10 to 13, has his changing the way he's writing them. Before he was encouraging them, and now he starts off with verse 1, now. And you think, you know, if he was there saying it, he just said, now. I, Paul, myself, okay, he's talking about him, right? Me, myself, and I. Paul, am pleading with you. And how does he plead? With what?
Meekness.
Of? Who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent and bold toward you. Why did he say that? Well, because they were charging him, right? He says his letters that you wrote were really strong and powerful, but when you're with us, you're kind of weak. You know, you have some physical, you know, maladies, and you're not really weak. And, you know, he'd also said that his speech was really contemptible. You know, so now he's having to, you know, basically defend himself to say who he is. Now, I also have in your handout the English Standard Version. I, Paul, myself entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am humble when face to face with you, but bold toward you when I'm away, right? He told him he's bold toward him because he wants them to be what? Imitators as he was, right? Let's turn and read 1 Thessalonians 2:7. 1 Thessalonians 2:7. Tabitha, you got that? So Paul's telling him, hey, I've been doing this for a while. I've been setting up churches and been with people and establishing them. And sometimes he describes himself as being their father, and sometimes he describes himself as a nursing mother, you know. What's more, you know, cherishing than a mom who is nursing their child? Yes. And then Jesus even said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, come to me, all who labor and are, and I will give you, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, because my yoke is, and my burden is. Paul's trying to tell him, hey, we're trying to help you. We're trying to be that person to build you up. And then in verse 2 of chapter 10, it says, but I beg you. All right, you can see Paul pleading with him. In this letter, he's pleading with you that when I am present, I may not be bold, with a confidence by which I intend to be bold against some, who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. And that's where he started to defend himself. And the English Standard says, I may not have to show you my boldness because I'm here to nurture you up, but in my letters, sometimes I have to be that bold person. Yes. And in verse 1 Corinthians 4:21, which we had just studied not too long ago, what do you want, says Paul, because he's also addressing the Corinthians. Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness? He's trying to plead with them, hey, I'm bold when I need to be, and I'll be strong when I need to be, but I'm here to nurture and build you up. You know, which is easier to listen to? Someone yelling at you, screaming at you, or someone nurturing you, trying to build you up, encourage you? Yes. And he says that he doesn't, in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, because we walk in the flesh, right? We walk here on this physical earth, yeah. You know, we're part of that. But we do not war according to the flesh. What does that mean? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So I don't have guns and knives and armament and bows and arrows and slings. He says, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And we kind of know where the armor is, right? We know where to find that in Ephesians 6. We won't read all that. But we see that Paul's telling him, look, you're trying to say that I walk in a carnal manner or in the flesh, But I'm here to do warfare with those that are trying to tear down your spiritual realm, your chances and opportunity to be part of this spiritual kingdom. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing them every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Remember, he had to tell about some of the things that they had been doing in his first letter, and he had to tell them, you know, there's things that we have to change. You know, there's things that we have to then, you know, go to warfare with. You know, we talk about when Paul focuses on the weapons of warfare. We know in Romans 13, 12, 1 Thessalonians 5, 8, and of course Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. What are all our armaments? Well, we have the shield, the faith, we have the helmet, we have the sword. Which is a sword again? The Word of God, right? Our Gospels, right? The Word of God. And so he says, my authority is to use spiritual weapons and not physical weapons. Remember, you may think that I'm not eloquent, but I'm here to help bring you to God. And here's some of the questions we had put down in this chapter. How does Paul describe the way he pleads with the Corinthians? How is he pleading with them? Listen, right, I'm trying to nurture you up. With all meekness and gentleness, right? With all meekness and gentleness, I want you to come to Christ. I don't want you to think that I'm not strong. Why were the critics questioning the nature of Paul and how he lived his life? Why? Why were they doing that? Right, but if I can what? If I can demean your character, if I can demean the words you say, what has his influence done? I've wiped away your influence, right? I've taken away your influence, right? All the things you've been doing, all the things you've been setting up, see, we turn you away from Paul, he doesn't know, and we're now the ones that have influence over him. So that's what they were trying to do, right? And Paul knew that this is a battle. This is a war. I need to make sure I'm using all the spiritual weapons that God has given to me to make sure that these weapons are in place. And when he talks about strongholds, what are some of even the strongholds today? Okay.
Perhaps they thought it was coming from Paul himself and not from God.
Right, because it said, hey, your letters are strong, but in person you're weak looking or physically weak. And then it said your speech was contemptible. So I'm degrading the person, the man, and his influence. Yes. And it talks about strongholds. What were some of the strongholds that they still had in those days? Well, didn't they have other deities that they had temples throughout Macedonia and Achaia? They still had Greek mythology, Roman mythology. They still had those temples. They still had high places. They still had things that they had to do away with and change. Do we have strongholds today? Yeah, what are some of the strongholds that pull people away? Right, so it's that prosperity. I want to be entertained. You know, the NFL plays when? When do they play all their football games? Sundays, right, you know. Some of us like football. It's like, but that's not where we're going to be on a Sunday. We're going to be here worshiping God. But that's a stronghold. Some people would rather do that. Yes. Continuing with chapter 10, verse 7. Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? So he gives them this question. Are you just judging me by what you see? Are you judging me by my manner of dress or my physical appearance? Right? In the New International Version, it says, are you judging by appearances and not looking at the obvious facts? And it says, if anyone is convinced in himself that he is in Christ, then let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is in Christ, even so we are in Christ. Who brought you to Christ? Who brought you this message? Remember at the beginning of the letter, he talked about him and Paulus and Titus. You know, he says, But who gives the increase was God. We gave the watering. We did the nurturing. We started building you up. And so if you considered me in Christ, then I'm still in Christ. And so are you. And we have the same thing. And in verse 8 it says, "For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for what? And not edification means what? Building up. Destruction means tearing down, right? So I'm here to build back better. Right? Build your soul up better. Build your strength so you can fight some of these physical or fleshly, carnal-minded strongholds, and that you will not be put to shame, it says. And I shall not be ashamed, right? I have started these works. I had started this. I'm not going to be ashamed. And in verse 9, it's like interesting. It says, lest I seem to what? Frighten, terrify you by letters, right? The letters that I wrote, I don't mean to terrify you. I'm trying to build you up. I'm trying to make sure you focus on what was important. Because hear what it says in verse 10. For his letters, they're talking about Paul's letters, they say are. And? But his bodily presence is. And his speech?
What's your version of contemptible?
Contemptible being what? Being.
That's what I'm
asking. Right. It seems like you're either hypocritical or you're not meaning what you're meaning, or you're just saying things that you have no authority over. Yes, contemptible. And in the New International Version, it says, he is unimpressive and his speaking amounts to nothing. So he's talking about Christ. He's trying to show them and pattern into Christ. And he says, but your speech is nothing. Doesn't mean anything. It's contemptible. And in verse 11, let such a person consider this, that what he are in the word, that what we are in word by letters, when we are absent, such we will also be indeed when we are present. He's trying to tell them, okay, I did these letters to give you this weighty things, and if I need to be bold and strong when I'm in your presence, I will be. But I'm supposed to be here to nurture you because I'm looking to make more influence over you. And if I can have more influence over you by being nurturing, that's better in person, right? Because here's some of the, Paul writes about his letters that have been received and viewed by some, and we're viewing his letters now. Daryl?
Look at me. Surely I'm teaching the truth. Just look how gracious I am.
And if they can degrade his, and you're right, Daryl, they can degrade his influence, then now they have assumed that influence over that group. And again, they're looking for, you know, that earthly recognition versus Paul's like, I'm just here to build you up. And then, you know, I build these other churches up as well, and now my work takes me elsewhere, and I can't be with you. And we know, too, being one-on-one on a study or a group study, you can see people, yes, I'm following you, I'm following along, and it's like, okay, we can ask some questions, and we can come together. And his letter, like you said, Daryl, has to be straightforward, no misunderstanding what the point was, no misunderstanding what I was trying to get across. And how do we perceive even like a text or something on social media? It's my interpretation, right? Right, whether, well, did they mean that in a nurturing, loving way, or were they abrupt? And, you know, just the facts, ma'am. You know, sometimes, you know, texts are just a short, little abrupt, yes, no, hey, we're going to meet at this time. But sometimes you put in, what did he mean by that? Like, we can't see that intention. When we're in front of somebody, then we can see that intention. All right, we have a few more minutes. Yes. Yes.
So he's not telling them something that he doesn't practice. So he is telling them that what they're saying is incorrect.
Yes. Now the last section, 12 through 18. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves by they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not what... Wow, that's a lot of comparing and acknowledging. And he's like, okay, where did they put the ruler up against? Well, look at me, right? Look at me. Look at the ruler against me, right? Look at me. Look at how I am. Look at what I am doing. Look at how I present myself. You know, because Paul says, we, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us. A sphere which especially includes you. So I'm here to help build you up, Paul says. And I'm here, I have limits of what God has allowed me to do. And I'm not taking a measuring stick against, see, I'm better than these others. I have done more than these others. They're measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves. And, you know, we think about what we've seen in the past. You know, Amos has a vision of a plumb line, right? He says, okay, here, what do you see, Amos? And Amos says, I have a plumb line, and that's Amos 7, 7 through 9. And he says, yeah, I'm measuring, you know, the nation of Israel by God's plumb line, by his, you know, authority, by his things. And we know that we should be built up with each other, and we should be encouraging one another. Verse 14, for if we are not overextending ourselves, as though our authority did not extend to you, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other man's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's fear of accomplishments, but he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. And so we see these things written out in other passages too, that Paul's trying to encourage. He's not trying to use others as a standard. He's not taking credit for some others. And when he sends Timothy out or Titus out, he's building them up, and he's also sent letters to, hey, receive them, right? They're also coming in the same manner. He's not saying, hey, they're just like me or they're better than me, or, hey, I taught them, so you should listen to them because they know me, you know. In Romans 15:20, let us look at that passage. We have a few more minutes, and we'll be able to finish this section up. Romans 15, verse 20. Ken, do you got that for me? 15:20.
Yes. not where Christ remained, lest I should but build one on one another's foundation.
Remember, this is Paul talking. He answers the letter to the Romans. So he's also saying, I made it my aim to preach the gospel. And then let's turn to Philippians 3, 15 through 16. Philippians 3, 15 through 16. Tony, you got that?
Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind.
So this letter also to the Philippians, he's trying to say, we need to be on the same page. We need to be together. I'm not trying to lead you astray. I'm not taking credit for any man's work. He points that the Lord's going to give the praise and the glory and the honor, not Paul. Paul's not there to say, hey, you know, if you're glorifying in yourself, that's vain glory. But the commendation should come from God. Let us read, I think I have time for just one or two more passages. Jeremiah 9, 23 through 24. Jeremiah 9, 23 through 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in what? His wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his... But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. Who's talking about me? Who's the me? God, right. That I am the Lord, exercising what? Loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. And then Romans 2:29. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. That's our goal, right? That we will be honored when we pass this life, that God will honor us, that we did all things right, that we fought the good fight, that we ran the good race, that we upheld the goal that we were taking through our lives, right? We need to make sure that we're not just, see, look how strong I am. Well, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. So we need to build each other up. I appreciate your kind attention. We finished chapter 10. Larry will start with chapters 11, 12, and 13 starting next week. Thank you.